Welcome to the Inspired for Action podcast. I'm Amanda Genther, and I'm here to share inspiring stories of online entrepreneurs who are killing it in their business and having fun at the same time. I want to prove that there's no one right way to market your business and sell your offers online. There's only the way that feels good for you and that works for your audience. I'll be getting down and dirty with my fellow online entrepreneurs to share step-by-step stories on how they created, launched, and sold their offers online. It's time to step out of fear and into action. Hi guys, welcome back to the Inspired for Action podcast. This is Amanda Genther, the host of this podcast, and I am so excited about today's interview. I just got done talking to Elle Druin from Styled Stock Society, and we are going to be talking all things membership sites. If you are interested in creating any form of online subscription style site, this episode is going to be gold for you. So we are going through how she created her Styled photography membership. And I'm digging in. Like I don't hold any questions back. I'm asking her how many members she has, what the current pricing is, how she decided on the pricing. And then she also goes through like what it looks like kind of like on a monthly basis to run the membership site. And then she's going to walk us through the step-by-step of how you can actually go and create a membership site like hers for yourself, if this is something that you are interested in doing for your own business. So there's so much good stuff in this episode. I hope you guys enjoy it. Let's dive in. All right. Welcome, Elle, to the show. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about you if they don't know you already?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I am a product stylist, photographer, and I am the founder of Styled Stock Society, which is a stylish stock photography membership for women entrepreneurs and bloggers. And I also help other women create, launch, and grow their own subscription businesses so that they can spend less time working and more time living.
I love it. And I just have to say, I've been a member of Styled Stock Society, I don't even know, maybe since you launched it, which we're going to get into, but I don't even honestly remember when you launched it, but I don't remember a time when I wasn't subscribed. You should see my Dropbox folder full of all of your stock photos. It's ridiculous. So let's go ahead and talk about it. So today we are diving into how you created Styled Stock Society, which is, like you said, it's a stock photography membership site. So it's like an online subscription site that people subscribe to on a monthly basis. And why don't you go ahead and just tell us a little bit, what is Styled Stock Society, like in more detail? What do people get? All that kind of stuff.
Sure. So Styled Stock Society, the membership is a membership site where our members get access to over 2,500 stock photos plus Canva templates for like social media and other graphics that they might need for their business. We also have tutorials and other resources to help them actually use the stock photos. Not everyone knows like what to do with them once you download them. So it's basically anything that you might need to create that visual presence, a visual brand for your business online.
Okay. Love it. And does yours have, are there multiple options for Styled Stock Society? Is it a membership and then they can also purchase the photos individually or just the membership?
Right now, the focus is on our membership. We had a separate shop that we were adding some of the collections to for a while, but honestly, I think it was a little bit confusing for our members or potential members to see all of the different options. So really, the focus is just one-stop shop to get everything that we create.
Okay, awesome. And then, so let's talk about, when did you first launch Styled Stock Society?
I launched in June of 2016.
Okay. So I've definitely been a member since it first launched then, because I was thinking around 3 years. That's what I was like, I'm pretty sure it's been around 3 years. So, and can you tell us, has it taken on any other sort of variation? Like what did it look like when you first launched it and how did it kind of shape and transform over the years to where it is right now?
Oh yeah, it's totally changed. I mean, hopefully you don't remember the beginning too much, because honestly, when I look back at like the first few collections I put out there, it's like kind of embarrassing. But when I originally started Styled Stock Society, just for anyone who like has no idea who I am, I wasn't a photographer. My background is in digital marketing, and I had worked in marketing before I quit my job to start my own business. I was doing some marketing consulting, and I had actually just launched a couple online courses, and I was at the point where I was like, okay, I'm ready to do something else. Everything that I'd been doing had been like $100 plus price point, and I knew I had a lot of people in my audience who are maybe 0 to 3 years into their business and maybe didn't have all the money to invest in like a higher priced offer. So I was like, what if I create a lower price subscription for something that my audience needs on an ongoing basis? And it happened kind of accidentally. I didn't really have a subscription or membership idea in mind. I just took a look at my email list to see if there were any particular opt-ins that were more popular than others. And I saw that around 1,000 people had downloaded a set of free stock photos that I had on my website. So I thought, okay, maybe I could offer regular stock photos for a monthly fee and create this simple stock photo subscription. I wanted it to be really affordable for my audience. I also at the time didn't plan for it to be like a primary income stream. It was just this kind of side idea that I had. So I essentially pitched the people who had downloaded my free stock photos this idea of a stock photography subscription where I was going to create 30 photos every month for a really low fee. And I ended up having 72 people sign up in the first 48 hours. And so I thought, well, maybe my pricing is just way off here, because I honestly, it was priced so low. I didn't think anyone would buy this. I literally pitched them with the idea that I'm not a photographer, but hey, I'll take some photos for you. So I doubled the pricing. I sent basically the same pitch email to the rest of my email list, which at the time, this was like 3 years ago. I think there was like 3,000 people-ish on my email list. And I ended up having 150 people total sign up during my launch period. So this was just a simple 30 photos a month. That's what you get. If you sign up next month, you don't get last month's photos. It was just very simple and straightforward. Partially for myself, I just wanted to create something that I knew I could do in like less than a day. I could create the content, I could upload it. It was going to be really simple. And then over time, I realized that it was growing and that my members wanted something that was more like a stock photography library. People were asking like, oh, we saw the photos from last month, but do we not get them if we join this month? And so I kind of pivoted and ended up creating an actual membership site that housed a lot of the previous images, basically created a whole library of images. So now we have over 2,500 images. And just over time, I think that as we added more and more images, we realized that our members had other needs too. So things like creating Canva templates so that they could easily create graphics for social media or their blog posts, things like that. And then adding tutorials because not everyone knew how to use the template. So basically over time, we're just constantly keeping our eye on what it is that our members want and need and adding that to the membership site as well.
Okay, that's awesome. And honestly, I don't even remember that long ago, like how it has transformed. I guess from the outside, you don't really, obviously, like you're so close to it that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe I did that 3 years ago, you know? And I'm just like, oh wow, I don't even realize all that changed. So
yeah.
So I want to touch on a couple of things you said. First off, I absolutely love that you went back. I do this all the time. You went back to your downloads, like your email software, and you looked at what were my most popular freebies that people were downloading. And that sparked the idea. And I think that is absolutely genius. I do the same thing all the time where I go back and I'm just like, okay, like even if I'm going to write a new blog post or if I'm going to do a podcast episode or do a training or something like that, I always go back to my freebies and I look at, okay, what did everybody sign up for? Like, what's the most popular lead magnet I have? And then how can I expand on that? So I absolutely love that you did that. And I definitely encourage other people, if you're struggling to kind of like think of what's next, like, what do I do next? I don't know what people want. Go and look at what people have already said yes to.
Exactly.
Love that. The other thing that I would love to talk to you about and just kind of see what the thought process was behind this is when you first started, you said that they got access to just that month's content, but they did not get access to the previous month's content. And now I know what you said was that it's a full library. You can download anything you want. So I'm in a membership community where a lot of people have this fear that, you know, nobody's going to sign up right away, because why would they sign up? They're going to just wait until a few months in when all of this, you know, all of the content is there and they can pick and choose from anything they want. Like, why would anybody sign up right away when there's barely anything in there? So I would love to know kind of what your experience was before, like when you just let them have this month's content versus now. Did any of those thoughts cross your mind about why I'm going to give them all these stock photos and anybody can download as much as they want and all this kind of stuff? Like, I'd love to talk through that process for you.
Sure. So in the beginning, I think it was easy because it was so simple. It was 30 photos a month for like $10 a month. And you just, that's what you got. There was no choice. That's exactly what it was. And so once we moved to more of a like traditional membership model where you have access to like anything in the membership site, one of the things that I actually realized fairly early on after that transition was this idea that if you give access to everything to people, especially with something like stock photos that you can download in like 2 seconds, that our churn rate was higher when we switched to a different model. So one of the ways that I addressed that was honestly getting rid of a monthly membership. Mm-hmm. I realized that for me, it didn't really make sense to have like a really low priced monthly option for people, because then people could just join, maybe download whatever they wanted and then leave, and I would only be making, you know, $20, $30. So we actually changed our pricing option so that the lowest option for pricing is a quarterly plan for $75, which basically locks people in for the first 3 months. And I also think this gives them more of a sense of how things work in the membership. So they see that we're always constantly adding new collections and new templates. You get a lot more value than I think some people will kind of just make a rash decision to like go in, download everything, and then leave. Like, it forces you to actually be a part of the membership in the community for a few different months. And we found that that significantly reduced our churn rate as well.
I love that. Okay. So that's a really good option for people who are worried about, like, who are kind of not even, maybe they're not even selling stock photos, but even just like workshop trainings and stuff like that. If you want to keep people, if you know that people need to be in your membership for at least 3 months to really like get the hang of things and see that value, then getting rid of that monthly option is a really good idea.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously maybe that doesn't work for everyone, but I think in terms of any sort of membership where like it does take some time, especially for us, like, cause we don't have like any sort of like live trainings or something that people are showing up for on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. There's not that sort of time sensitive thing that people feel like they're getting other than the photos. So it's like, give us a chance to show you like what we really can add value to.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. So I would love to know next, how did you decide on the pricing? So you have a quarterly and an annual option, right?
Quarterly, annual, and a lifetime now.
And a lifetime. Okay. Can you walk me through what those different price points are? And then how did you come up with those different price points?
Sure. So right now it's $75 a quarter, $250 a year. So essentially get 2 months free if you sign up for the annual plan. And then we have a $495 lifetime membership option. So that pricing has all evolved over time. Like, I think at the very, very beginning, it was like maybe $100 a month, or I'm sorry, $100 a year was the like the initial annual price, and it's grown to $250 over time, partially just as the library has grown, as we've added more photos, more resources. I have grown my skill set as a photographer and stylist exponentially over the past few years. So I think just as everything has grown, the pricing has also grown along with it. So it wasn't just like I arrived at that pricing. And I think that's like one thing to keep in mind for anyone who wants to create a subscription is that you can increase your pricing. And I think it makes more sense to like start like maybe even a little bit lower than where you ideally want to be, and make sure that you are learning about your early members or subscribers and giving them what they want and being able to create something that is sustainable, that you can grow over the long term. Because that's really what it is. It's a long-term game. So if you're trying to set your pricing for something that's like, I just want to get sales now, that might not be sustainable over time. And it's way easier to increase your price over time than it is to decrease your price because you feel like you're not selling enough.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine like having a membership site and then needing to decrease the price. So yeah, definitely start low and then just increase it. Plus every time you increase it, it just adds that little bit of urgency as well. Like you can get more people in the door because you can say like, hey, this price is about to go up, jump in now at this rate and it's not going to be this price ever again. So
exactly. Yeah. That's definitely something that we've used, especially like, you know, around the end of the year or the middle of the year, whenever we're making like a price increase, it's just a great way to, especially we have the model where we lock people in. They're essentially grandfathered in at whatever rate. So if we have some members who've been members for 3 years who are still paying $10 a month, which I mean, but they've been paying that for 3 years. So like, I'm totally happy with that. I don't to increase their rates. Everyone's happy.
Yeah, they're not leaving. So yeah, I love that. Okay. So can we talk about how many members you currently have subscribed to the membership right now?
Yeah. So it's just under 3,000.
3,000. Okay.
Hit that number like in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. So that's like is this your sole source of revenue in your business right now?
It is not.
It is not. Okay.
So the short answer is I technically run three separate businesses, but this is probably 65-70% of my overall revenue.
Okay, that's awesome. And it's pretty, I mean, pretty passive besides, do you like batch the content? Like how does that work?
Yep. So it's funny because as a photographer, I say that I'm like a stylist and photographer, but I only spend 2 days a month actually taking photos of things. So all the content that we create, we add anywhere from 6 to 8 new collections a month. I'm not the only photographer anymore. I have contributing photographers who are also adding or creating new collections for us to add to the library. But for myself, I spend no more than 2 days creating and editing new content, and then the rest of like managing the membership in terms of like marketing and planning and prop sourcing and all of that, for me personally probably takes another like 5-ish days a month. So I'm spending about 7 to 8 days total per month running the membership.
That's awesome. So 1 week out of the month, and that's what it, and of course you said like, it doesn't have any live components or anything, which is huge. You know, you're not tied down. You don't have to be at your computer at a certain date and time, which is awesome. So this truly is more of a passive source of income for you besides those 7 days. Cause you know, nothing is actually passive.
Yes, exactly. I made the decision in the very beginning that I didn't want to have any sort of like live community aspect to the membership. I know some other photography memberships do, but I just didn't want something that I was going to have to manage on an ongoing basis in that way. And I've been like pretty happy with the amount of effort and time that I put into it for the revenue that is produced. So,
yeah. And I think one of the things that you did really good from the very beginning is just keeping it as simple as possible. And you didn't add all of like the stuff to the membership to kind of like, because I know some people, when you're creating a membership, it's like just keep adding stuff because you want to make sure that you're conveying that value to your members. But when it comes down to it and you go back and you ask your members, like, what is it, if we had to take away everything, what is the number one thing that you would want to keep in the membership site? You know, and they usually, it's usually comes down to one or two things that you're doing, and you can scrap the rest of it. I think you've done that really well from the beginning. You just kept it extremely simple. You gave them what they wanted and you didn't add anything else.
Yeah, I think that's something that I've found, especially with, you know, starting to help other women create their own membership sites, that there's this idea that the more I add, the more value there'll be, the more like people will be willing to pay for it, or the higher my prices can be. And honestly, like a lot of times, like it just gets too overwhelming to people. There's so much content. There are so many things that people don't even like take advantage of them, or they don't make progress because they're so overwhelmed with all the things that they're just like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. And it's usually harder to sell as well because you're trying to sell so many pieces and it's confusing from the buyer's end. They're like, what am I actually paying for? Like, yeah. I'm paying for all of this stuff. And then you go through the thought process. I know I've done this where I'm like, well, I'm only going to actually use like one piece of this membership site. So is it worth me paying this much money if I'm only going to use one part of it? So when you keep it really simple, like, you know exactly what people want, they know that they're getting that value out of it because that's what they're using.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, hey, friend. I hope you're enjoying this episode so far, but I wanted to interrupt for just a minute to let you know about the Connect and Convert Club. So over the years, I have found my superpower to be helping people take action in their business. And that's exactly what the Connect and Convert Club was created to do. The Connect and Convert Club is a monthly membership community where I provide training, templates, and swipe files to help you execute a specific marketing strategy in your business so you can sell more of your offers on autopilot. You're also going to get access to the core training, the Fun Funnels framework, so you know the basics of what goes into creating a successful marketing funnel that actually converts. On top of that, I'm also hosting a monthly coaching call where I get to connect with our members, answer questions, and deep dive into your business and give you actionable advice that you can take and apply right away. So the good news is the doors to the Connect and Convert Club are opening again soon, and I would love to have you join us. You can learn more and add your name to the waitlist over at amandagenther.com/club. You'll be the first to know when doors are open again so you can lock in your spot. Okay, let's get back to the episode.
So, okay, let's go into how someone else, if they are interested in creating an online subscription style site of their own, what are those steps for getting started? And I'm interested in either how did you get started, or like if you had to go back and do it all over again, what would be those steps that you would take to create a new online subscription site?
Sure. So I would maybe not do what I did because honestly, I went from like my idea to my launch in 48 hours and didn't think a lot of things through. I just wanted to get things out there, get my idea out there and see if like people would even be interested in it. And while that's one way to approach, you know, just launching anything, I think if you are really thinking about it and want to put a little more effort into planning it for long-term growth, you can spend more than 48 hours. So I think that it really does start with your idea and coming up with something that you know, one, is going to help solve an ongoing problem for your audience, and two, is something that you can do consistently that you actually enjoy doing because you're essentially committing to doing it on a long-term basis by creating a subscription. So it's not, I think it's a little bit different than if you were to just create a one-off digital product or an online course that you were just going to like sell one time, but it's kind of like this idea that you're going to basically commit to doing something every single month for who knows how long. So really think about, one, is it a problem that people have on an ongoing basis that you can continue to solve? And two, do you actually enjoy solving that problem on an ongoing basis?
Yeah. And I'm sure because you teach, like you said, you teach other people how to do these membership sites. So I'm sure you've probably run into people who I don't make it. I've seen so many membership sites close down because it's just they get into this like content hamster wheel that they just can't keep up. So being realistic about like what can you actually create on a monthly basis, and even better if you can batch create as much as possible so that you can get ahead of the schedule, is so important for that membership style site.
For sure. And I'd also think about just like validating that idea with your audience. I mean, in my case, I had some idea that people wanted stock photos because they had already downloaded the free stock photos, but even just like talking to real life humans in your audience before you go and create anything to see if it's something that they'd be interested in, or survey them, create like a free version of it. You know, if you have some sort of, let's say your membership is going to be something where you have lots of like trainings and things like that, create the MVP version of it, the minimal viable version of it, and just see if that's something that your audience responds to before committing to doing it long term. Because yes, honestly, like you want to validate this before you create it.
Yes, I love that.
And then I would think about just like positioning in terms of anytime you're creating something new, how does this work with what you already have to offer? So if you have, let's say, services or other products, like how does your new subscription fit into the mix? Is it going to complement your existing products and services? Can you position it as an upsell or a downsell or a cross sell to your current audience? Is it going to be confusing by creating something different? And what do you need to do to minimize that confusion when you launch it? I think, like, also from a branding perspective, it can kind of take its own thing. So I originally didn't have like a separate website or even a separate anything for the Styled Stock Society. It was just like a little part of my business that had like one page of my website, but it ended up being a totally different sub brand with a different website, different LLC, different everything. So it can be really as simple, as complicated as you make it. But I think at a minimum, you want to think about it in terms of positioning from a product perspective, but also a branding perspective. You'll obviously need to name your subscription. You don't necessarily need to create a whole new site for it in the beginning, but just thinking about a little bit how this is going to fit into your existing mix before you go about just putting it out there.
Yeah. So again, just keep it as simple as possible until you know that it's working. And then once it's working and you have paying customers, that's when you can start to get a little more like fancy with everything.
Exactly. So from there, I would say deciding on your tech and tools is probably the next most important thing. Again, would say keep things as simple as possible. If you are already creating content or selling products on a particular platform and you already know how to use it, and like you're probably already paying for it, it may just be as simple as creating a membership there. So for example, if you have courses on Podia or Thinkific or Teachable, like use their membership platform. That makes it super easy. You're already paying for it. If you're familiar with WordPress and various plugins, like maybe using WordPress with a MemberPress plugin would be super simple. If you're on Squarespace, maybe that's member space. So I would say like, just keep it as simple as possible, especially in the beginning. Use what you already know and have, rather than trying to create something totally new and different and just learning. There's so much learning when it comes to like creating a membership site. So like, make it as easy for yourself as possible.
Yeah. And I think the tech is probably, I mean, just in my experience with my audience, the tech is usually one of the biggest things that holds people up from ever even creating and launching stuff. So I love that advice. And something I didn't even ask you. So side note, what do you use for your membership site?
Yeah. So it's built on WordPress using MemberPress, and then any of the other like custom pages and plugins are built with various custom pages and plugins. So we use Elementor as the page builder. We have a separate plugin for like the portfolios, and then all of the filtering, I think, is a advanced sorting plugin as well. Honestly, it was just trial and error. And I think, like you said, don't let the tech hold you back from getting started. It's never going to be perfect in the beginning. So do what you know and what works for you, and then you can always evolve it over time.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, next, after the tech, choose your tech.
Yeah. After tech, I would say pricing, because then you'll have a sense of like what it actually will cost you to run your subscription, which I think is important in thinking about how you're going to price it. Obviously, you want to make money. You want to think about how much money you want to make, ideally, how much money you need to spend to run your subscription, and how much work or time you're going to put into running it. So ultimately, obviously, you want to get paid for your time also. But then also think about the value that your subscribers are going to receive. So like, what would it cost them to solve the problem without you? And not just like the actual money, but also the time or the stress of trying to figure things out for themselves. So if assuming you're going to make their lives easier in some way, like what is that worth to them? And again, your pricing doesn't need to be set in stone. I definitely recommend starting it on the lower end of your ideal range and then raising it over time as you grow your subscribers and grow the value of your subscription. Okay, so you have your pricing. Honestly, from there, I would just pre-sell right away. There are some people who are like, I'm going to create all the content and then I'm going to sell it. And I've always been like, no, I'm going to see if people want to buy it and then I will create it.
Same.
So whatever you need to do to get it in front of your audience, I honestly just wrote an email with like a checkout link. I didn't have a sales page. I didn't have a website. I didn't have like anything for this offer other than like an email with a kind of vague idea of what it was going to include. But obviously, if you want to optimize your pre-sale experience, I would suggest at least having like a landing or sales page to direct people to. And obviously, I know that's something you can help people with.
Yeah, if you do need help. No, that's, it's funny because I'm laughing over here because that is exactly how I launched my membership site a couple of months ago, because I'm in the boat where I'm just like, I'm just going to put it out there and I'm going to see if anyone bites at it and see what that interest is. And then I'm going to really get into it and like figure out like, what is this thing? So I literally launched my membership site with an email, and it was a lifetime option because I really wanted to like get those founding members in there that would help me kind of shape the membership site as well. So that's an option too. If like, if you don't really know what it's going to look like, you have like an idea of the things you want to provide, but you need a little help kind of refining it, I would really recommend just doing kind of like the beta launch, like the founding members style launch, where you put it out there and you say like, look guys, this is the lowest this price is ever going to be. I really need some help like kind of shaping this. And that's what I did, and it worked. And I think I would probably do that again in the future if I ever had to launch anything else. So I loved that. And again, it was fast. Like it was like, just get it out there, get it going, and kind of just roll with it. Like every day is a new day type of thing. So
yeah, I mean, I love that. I think, you know, it really just goes to show that you don't have to have everything figured out. And I mean, nor should people expect you to. Like, mm-hmm. This is just like an idea. And obviously, like, you want to create something that other people want too. And the best way for that to happen is to actually get their input. So, and honestly, to get their input after they've already paid, because they're invested in it and they
exactly.
like they want you to create something that they want.
Yes, I am always very weary of asking people who have never paid me for anything, like, what do you want me to create? I struggle with that because it's like, okay, I can ask them and they can tell me and then I can go and create it, but nobody's put any money down yet. Like nobody said, yes, I want this thing. So whenever you have the opportunity to ask someone who's already paid you for something, what it is that they want, they are going to be a million times more invested in what you're actually going to create. They're going to be honest about it, like all that kind of stuff. So yeah, hands down, definitely. Like if you're looking for more input, have people pay you first and then ask them what they want. If that's a possibility for you, if you already have that audience built up.
Right. Which I mean, honestly is another kind of key part that I just assume that anyone who wants to create like a subscription type business has an audience already, which I know isn't the case because people will come to me all the time. And I actually have like an application process for like when people want to work with me, if they need help like creating a subscription. And one of the questions I ask is like, how big is your current audience? And some people are like, oh, I'm just getting started. Like I don't have an audience. And I'm like, honestly, I wouldn't recommend doing this because it really is somewhat of a numbers game in terms of like getting new members. People are going to leave. And you need to be able to continue to grow. And it's not something that's going to be a, you know, $1,000 a month price point where like you only need a few people. So it really is something that I do think people need an audience. It doesn't have to be like huge. It doesn't have to be massive, but you need some people.
Yeah, that's such a good thing to note, because again, like I think, you know, some people who are just getting started maybe see the idea of a membership site and it looks nice and shiny and fun to them, you know. But yeah, it is a numbers game. Like most of them are a low price point. I mean, I know some people who run membership sites that are a higher price point and you go for it. But the reason they're able to run that higher price point membership is because they already have that audience that's willing to pay for it. So I think no matter what you do, no matter what type of membership site you create, having that audience built up first is crucial, or else I feel like you're just going to be kind of like turning your wheels, trying to constantly get new people in the door. And it's just, yeah, that would be, it's a lot of work on top of also needing to create the content as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that. Okay. All right. So what's next?
Okay. So let's say you got some pre-sales in, you know, we're going to go forward. Actually creating your content, well, at least like the first month of content and your content plan, I would say is next. I don't think that you need to create 6 months worth of content or anything when you get started. Really just having that first month, I think, is a great goal. But really having a plan, I think, is more important, because if it is something where you're going to be delivering new content, whether that's videos or PDFs or tutorials or photos, whatever it is, on an ongoing basis, you need to know for yourself, like, how long is it going to take you? When are you actually going to create that content? If you have other things going on in your business, if you have clients or, you know, you're selling other products or services, then you need to figure out, like, how this content is going to fit into your schedule. And what is it actually going to look like? So, you know, are you adding new content on the first of the month or the 15th of the month? How are you letting people know when new content is available? Are you going to send them an email? Like, do you have a community? There's so much that can go into a subscription in terms of content that I think you really need to plan what it is that you're going to deliver, when you're going to deliver it, how you're going to deliver it, and how you're going to communicate that it was delivered.
And I think too, like, if you did do the beta launch beforehand, this is a great opportunity for you to involve those members in creating this content plan as well. Just kind of have them be a part of that process.
Yes, exactly. Definitely helps. I mean, we survey even just like new members in our, we have like a welcome sequence that goes out to anyone who joins. And one of the emails is essentially asking them like, hey, what do you think so far? What are your favorite collections? What do you want us to add more of? Or is there something missing that you think we should add to the library? Just to get a sense of what it is that people want. And that's obviously after they've already paid.
Yep. I love that. Okay. Any other steps?
Yeah, I think from there, it's really setting up your content delivery and payment systems, really getting that tech set up and getting however you plan to deliver that content set up, just like technologically, mm-hmm. which again, don't overcomplicate things, make it as easy as possible, both for you and for your members. Just keep it simple. Testing all those systems and then honestly launching it from there. I think there's a million things that you could do.
Yeah.
But at that point, like, you have enough to put it out into the world. Like, you have enough to get people to actually buy it. And then you can focus on refining all the things, you know, like, you don't have to have a funnel set up before you launch it. You don't have to have everything figured out. Just having like your basic content plan and a way for people to get the content and way for them to pay for it. And at that point, you can put that out there.
I love that. And then what is your, because I know with membership sites and like I'm in the process of officially launching mine, and number one concern is always retention, right? So just keeping people inside of the membership site, keeping them engaged. What have you found to be really helpful for that?
Yeah. So I think it's interesting because most people will actually be like, how do I grow my membership? And you are clearly speaking from someone who has experience because the question you should really ask is like, how do I keep my members happy?
Yeah.
Because like the beautiful thing about having any sort of subscription business or a membership site is this idea of recurring payments, but they only recur if your members stay happy. Mm-hmm. Like it's really just you and that like the thing that I always like tell people, okay, if you're selling a product and let's say you sell 100 courses that are $100 this month, next month, if you want to make the same amount of money, you have to find 100 new people to sell it to. Whereas if you have like a subscription-based business, you don't have to find any new people if you keep those 100 people happy. That's like never going to happen. People are always going to leave. But if you keep, let's say, 80% of them happy, then you only have to find 20 new people to make the same amount of money. It's just, it's like playing with the math in your head to figure out like, what does this really look like? How many people do I need? And how many people do I need to be constantly like bringing into the membership in order to sustain or grow over time? So that's just to say, in terms of retention, I think that the biggest things that have made a difference really are making sure that our members are educated, that they know where everything is and how it works. I think anytime that you are creating like something, you obviously are very close to it and you know, like, well, of course, this is where people would go to download the photos, or of course, this is how you use stock photos. But other people may not know the same thing. So making it very, very clear from the beginning, you know, once people like hand over their money, what is that experience like? Are you taking the time to explain to them where they can find everything, what the experience is going to be like? Let's say you have like monthly calls or other components of it, making sure that everything is very, very clear from the beginning. I, earlier this year, joined a gym. So like a physical gym in Brooklyn. And I had a very negative membership welcome experience because literally I showed up and I paid for my membership and no one offered to take me on a tour. Mm. It was sort of just like, all right, have at it. And I think the same thing could happen very easily digitally where people hand over their money and they, get their login link or whatever. And then if you don't tell them what to do, if you don't have that warm welcome, then it makes people feel I'm not special. We want someone to take us on a tour, show us where everything is. Even if I can figure it out myself, I'm a smart person. I can find the locker room, but it's a much better experience if someone literally shows me where it is and maybe tells me that there are fresh towels that smell like eucalyptus every morning or, whatever it is.
I want to join that gym.
I love little things like that help your members feel they're appreciated, they're actually part of a community, even if you don't have an actual community. So everything from your welcome sequence or welcome tutorial, anything like that. Sometimes it's a member dashboard. I've seen a lot of memberships where people have welcome assessment or quiz to help people figure out what they should start with if there's a lot of different resources, something that just helps people to guide them to whatever it is that you are providing for them. And then also regularly surveying our members. So in addition to having a automated survey in our welcome sequence, we also send out a more in-depth survey a couple times a year. We're always polling on Instagram, just constantly asking, what do you want to see more of? Or what would be helpful to you? And just getting a sense of what is it that people really want. I'm also super, super numbers obsessed. I used to work in finance and the analytics behind things really get me excited in a nerdy way. So I look at everything. I look at what people downloaded, what they didn't download, seeing what's more popular, what's less popular, what are the things that get more clicks or more opens, all the things to figure out how do I optimize this experience for people and keep them happy.
I love that. Yeah. So just stop worrying about getting the new members and start worrying about how you're going to actually keep your current members happy.
Yep.
Yeah. Love that. Okay. So is there anything else that goes into the steps for creating and launching this subscription site?
I think that's pretty much it in terms of creating and launching. Obviously, there's so many different ways to do it and so many different ways you go about it. Just launching in itself, there's so many different ways to launch. I could go on and on about that. I think those are really the basic steps that someone would need to take just to go from your idea to actually having something that people can buy.
Okay. I love that. And then, so let's wrap it all up then. And what is the number one thing that you would say people should go do today, tomorrow, if they're interested in creating an online subscription site like yours?
I mean, I think the first thing really is identify an ongoing problem that you can solve consistently. And I would say test it to make sure it's something that your audience actually needs solving. Because I think sometimes we think this is a problem that people have. Mm-hmm. And it's not actually the problem they want help with. So even for my subscription, so one of the reasons why this even happened is I used to teach Instagram courses. So I have a dog who has 100,000 followers on Instagram, and she is actually the reason I started my business. And so I taught this course on Instagram for people who want to make their pets famous on Instagram. And from that, I actually ended up with another Instagram course to help business owners specifically. But I realized that as I was teaching people, people would say I want to grow my Instagram. That's the thing that they said they wanted. So I created a course to help them step by step. This is what I would do to grow your Instagram. The problem was people wouldn't actually implement the strategy because they didn't have photos to post mm-hmm. on Instagram. So I think in that case, the problem was the strategy to an extent, but it was really having the content. That was really the thing that was holding them back. So a lot of times you don't actually know that until you figure out what you think the problem is and actually try to solve it for your audience and see what happens.
Yeah. Starting with that step, like what are they telling you they need help with? And then diving deeper in with your customers to kind of see where they're getting stuck and then figuring out, okay, how can I help them get past that now? That's so cool. I didn't know that that was how that kind of like came about. So that's really interesting to hear. It's just kind of like starting and then that's that journey that you go on, right? That's everything leads to like that next thing. So that's really, really good to know and really helpful for people to know, like you don't have to have that idea right now. That idea will come to you. Just start doing what you know how to do now and then just trust that everything will kind of lead to the next idea.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Elle. Can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Sure. So I am everywhere online at Elle Druin, ELLEDROUIN.com and on social media. And Styled Stock Society is styledstocksociety.com.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you really quick for sticking around and listening all the way till the end. If you need them, we've got all the links for this episode in the show notes, which you can find over at amandagenther.com/podcast. And if you really enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe to the show so that you get new episodes downloaded as soon as they come out. And if you're an Apple user, I'd really appreciate it if you took a few seconds to leave a quick rating or review. Your reviews tell iTunes that this is a podcast worth listening to, which can help me and my guests reach more people and in turn help more online businesses. So that's it for today. I'll be back soon with a brand new episode, but until then, it's time to get back to work and take some action.